Father, please help us to see you as you truly are and see ourselves as we truly are. Please, in the middle of this working week, would you encourage us, strengthen us to serve you, to understand you for the first time. And we pray that you get the honor you deserve. Amen. Well, let me read the passage we're going to look at. Asking Zacchaeus, this tax collector who looks too bad. 19 verse 1 from Luke chapter 19. Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Let me ask this question. People drift in, don't worry, just come straight across. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been lost? Well, maybe there are some alpha males in the room who answer immediately, instinctively, no, I've never been lost. Geographically challenged, maybe, at points, but never properly lost. My wife and I were in the Lake District on holiday, and we went for a walk, and after about half an hour of dragging our toddler through some bogs, she started to say, Are you completely sure you know exactly where we are? And we looked at the map, and it turned out I wasn't quite as sure, wasn't quite as right as I thought. And we arrived home half an hour later, and half an hour grumpier, and half an hour hungrier than we might otherwise have been. And that's a long time in the world of a toddler. Not that serious, though, right? But in some situations, being lost is actually really serious. I've started listening to the Serial podcasts. Any listeners out there? It's a niche thing. You'd love it if you started listening, I promise. But it goes through real-life stories of individuals and tries to get to the bottom of the cases out there. And the second series looks at the case of Bo Bergdahl, who's this private in the U.S. Army, he's trying to pull a stunt, and he goes AWOL from his base in Afghanistan. And he gets himself completely lost. And it's really serious for Bo Bergdahl because he gets captured in Afghanistan by the Taliban, and he's held prisoner by them for 4 years. For him, being lost was a matter of life and death. And today, Jesus wants to deal with this kind of lostness, the matter of life and death. Lostness. The U.S. Army launched a massive mission to seek and to save Bo Bergdahl, the lost one. Well, that's what Jesus says he's all about. Verse 10 of our passage at the end. For the Son of Man, Jesus' favorite name for himself, came to seek and to save the lost. How bad is bad enough? Well, Jesus comes to seek and save the lost. He's all about bad people. Who do we meet in this story? Well, we meet, first off there in your sheets, a lost one seeking. A lost one who's seeking. He's a man who's lost. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, so that's even worse than today's brand of tax collectors. You're all tax consultants, right, rather than tax collectors, so I'm all right to say comments like that. But the Romans had privatized HMRC, and they just contracted it out to private bidders. And not only did you get the right to collect taxes on behalf of the Romans, you got the right to set discretionary amounts that would cover your costs. If this was the MP's expense scandal gone wild, this is just theft with a superpower at your back. This is the tax you need to pay me today. I hand it over He's trampled on others, and he's got the money he wants and the pleasure it buys. What would it be today? Maybe it would be the cowboy builder who lies to the widow, takes all her savings and leaves her with a roof half finished, or someone in the banks who just turns a complete blind eye to the money laundering he knows is going on, and he's somehow gained the system, and it means his bonus goes up, his yacht gets bigger, but terrorism is funded. Trampling on others to get what you want. This is a bad man. No wonder, verse 7, all the crowd grumble. Jesus goes in to have a meal with this man, and verse 7, all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a sinner. How does he not know who this man is? Gives a slightly different flavor to the idea of lostness, doesn't it? I was just a bit of a bumbling fool in the Lake District when I got lost. But I was an innocent bumbling fool. Whereas this is a culpable lostness. This is a moral lostness that we instinctively oppose. It's a lostness that means you're so disorientated about right and wrong that you think it's okay to just use and abuse those around you. So disorientated, you don't get there's a God that you should serve. We don't get that. And a God who cares when we hate our neighbor instead of loving our neighbor. Put like that, maybe for us, we'd want to say we're lost too. Maybe the symptoms aren't quite as raging as they are in the case of Zacchaeus, but the underlying disease sounds strangely familiar. Where have I failed to love my neighbor as myself? Where have I treated others as if they should be all about serving me and tried to offload my work, my cares onto them because I'm at the center and not them? We meet a man who's lost. Verse 3, we meet a man who's seeking. Everyone wants a piece of Jesus. Imagine when the Olympic team come home in a week or so, there'll be people at the airport crowding in to see them. Well, that's exactly what's happening here. A whole crowd. It seems like all of Jericho have pitched up to see Jesus, and Zacchaeus wants to join in too, but he's too short, vertically challenged, so he has to do his own little Olympic impression and run on ahead to a sycamore tree and climb on up to see Jesus. He's seeking. I think one of the things Luke wants us to ask, actually, in the way that he orders these stories in Luke's gospel, is he wants us to ask, how hard is Zacchaeus actually seeking? In the previous story, a blind man hears that Jesus is coming into Jericho. Very similar location, similar event. But this blind man hears it, and he's just so convinced that he is lost and that Jesus has what he needs that he just starts shouting at the top of his voice, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" It was even more awkwardly loud than that. That was a model response. Zacchaeus just wants to see. Maybe he's going to stay hidden in the trees. Maybe he's not even going to reveal himself to Jesus. Actually, there's been people all the way through this previous chapter of Luke who are actually, they're so lost that they don't even grasp the depth of their own lostness. If you could put it like that. They're so lost, they don't even grasp the depth of their lostness. So this rich ruler who looks so moral, so upright, he comes and just struts onto the stage as if he's got everything he needs to be right with God. He's obviously found, but Jesus reveals, you're lost. This proud Pharisee that looks down on everyone else, he's so convinced he's found, but Jesus says, no, you're lost. I don't know if people hadn't heard of the podcast I mentioned. People probably haven't watched this film either. Inception, people seen the film Inception? Phew, more nods around the room. That's good. At the start of Inception, Sato, this character, is lost in limbo. It's better than it sounds, I promise. Lost in limbo, and the hero, Leonardo DiCaprio, goes down to rescue him. But Sato's been down there so long that when Leo pitches up, he goes, you remind me of a man I once met, a man from a half-remembered dream. He's been lost so long, he doesn't even realize his own lostness. In Luke, we're meeting alpha males who think they don't need finding, convinced they are found already. And yet Jesus starts to show we're all lost, morally speaking, maybe more lost than we care to admit, that we can't even grasp the depth of our own lostness. We met a lost one who's seeking, then we meet a lost one who's found. However hard Zacchaeus is seeking, we meet Jesus, who is a man who has sought a lot harder than Zacchaeus has sought him. Jesus really seeks. So verse 5, Jesus comes to the place, he looks up and says, "Zacchaeus." And we're left going, well, how does he know his name? "Zacchaeus, come down. I must come to your house today." Jesus knows more about Zacchaeus than Zacchaeus knows about Jesus. Jesus wants a more significant encounter with Zacchaeus than Zacchaeus wants with Jesus. He wants to come and stay with him in his house, a sign of close friendship in that culture. In fact, standing behind the seeking that's on view in the story is a much greater seeking. The seeking mentioned in verse 10, the Son of Man came. His mission statement is to seek and to save the lost. The U.S. Army launched this massive mission to find Bo Bergdahl, to seek and to save the lost. Leonardo DiCaprio goes to find Sato. He's looking to seek and to save the lost. Well, that's what Jesus says. The picture the Bible paints is almost of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity before the beginning of time, plotting together how they will seek and save the lost. That's what God's all about. God's not about rewarding and ticking off the tick list of people who pretend they're moral. God is all about the Son of Man, Jesus, coming to seek and to save lost people. It's about realizing your badness, not pretending about your goodness. Jesus' whole raison d'etre is to seek and to save the lost people like Zacchaeus, people like us. And what Jesus seeks, Jesus finds. What Jesus seeks, Jesus finds. So the U.S. Army go looking for Bergdahl, and it takes them 4 years, even though pretty much all the army in Afghanistan start looking. And they only find him when the Taliban come forward with the offer of a prisoner exchange. But look, what Jesus seeks, Jesus finds. Zacchaeus, verse 5, come down, I must stay at your house. And immediately, verse 6, he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. What Jesus seeks, Jesus finds. Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, you know, you talked up how bad Zacchaeus was. Surely he is too bad. Understand Jesus overlooking some people's faults, but what about this man's? Surely he is too bad. What? First thing to say is this, Jesus finds people as he himself is lost. See, it's not primarily his life that's a search and rescue mission, it's his death that's a search and rescue mission. So the night before Jesus dies, there's this the scene where the guards take him and they blindfold him and they just sort of start hitting him from different sides. It's an awful scene, and they just shout, come on, if you know what you're talking about, prophesy. Tell me, who was it that struck you? It's this awful scene. Jesus lets himself be taken, and people from all sides are just going, well, he looked like he knew what he was doing in front of crowds, but now he's playing with the big boys. He just looks like a lost boy, wandering around helpless. And yet the Bible says that as Jesus allowed himself to be lost in that way, he made it possible for us to be found, that Jesus would deal with the lostness we deserve to rescue us. each of us for the way we've failed to love God and love our neighbor. We deserve to experience a lostness into eternity, away from God's perfect new creation. And yet as Jesus dies on the cross, he bears that for us, that we can be found. Zacchaeus' wrong is dealt with as Jesus takes what he should take, dying on the cross. Is it fair? His wrongness is dealt with. And is this just a get-out-of-hell-free card that Jesus is handing over to Zacchaeus? No. One thing this story is really there to teach us is this. Not just what Jesus seeks, Jesus finds, but what Jesus finds, Jesus reorientates. This is a lost one, reorientated. Verse 8, look at the radical reorientation Zacchaeus goes through. This person who spent his whole life loving himself and hurting people around him. He says this, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Apparently, one of the problems in the US Air Force and other modern air forces of today is that when fighter pilots go through so many twists and turns under so much G-force, they actually get disorientated about which way's up and which way's down, especially if they're flying through banks of clouds or they're a long way up. They can end up flying upside down for miles and miles, and they've had to install technology that shows them which way's up. What Jesus does for Zacchaeus here is show him which way's up. He reorientates him. Zacchaeus has actually been living life upside down. He's been living as if life is all about serving me and getting mine. And Jesus comes, and as Zacchaeus meets Jesus, his life is flipped right way up. That he sees life is all about serving others, loving God, and showing that in the way that he cares for the other people around him. This bad one is totally changed, totally transformed. The hymn goes, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The hymn writer, John Newton, I don't know if you know the story, but he was a slave ship captain. He spent his life living upside down, living like it was okay to use and abuse people. And yet when Jesus' grace came and found him, it changed him. It changed his life right way up. And he spent the rest of his life alongside people like William Wilberforce fighting against the slave trade, seeing the wrongness of that. Life was turned right way up for him. Zacchaeus is here as a model for what Jesus wants to do with people like Zacchaeus, and actually what Jesus wants to do with people like you and me. He wants to forgive us. He wants to deal with our moral lostness. Even if we can't even grasp how deep our lostness is. And he wants to radically reorientate our lives, that we'd live life loving, delighting to serve the people around us and God. What does this mean for us as we close? One, we'd see our utter dependence on Jesus. Our seeking is only a shadow of his seeking. Our sense of right way up is all confused all too often. We're utterly dependent on him. Two, we'd praise Jesus that he does seek and save the lost. That he, as we see our lostness, we see one that is all about lost people. And we rejoice in that. And lastly, we cooperate as Jesus turns us right way up. We get on board with the program, you could say. Last week we met a man who wouldn't let go of his wealth. It was what would get him what he ultimately felt he needed in life. And yet, now Zacchaeus here, he's ready to let go. What did he let go of to give so much away? To give half of everything he owns away. Dramatically downsized his house, his car traded down, his car got slower, the holidays lost their five-star edge, whatever it is. He gave away half of everything he has. And the thing I find most challenging about this, I don't know if you spotted that, Jesus doesn't need to give him a list of commands to get him to do it. He's not being whipped into shape. He's just so understood who Jesus is and the reorientation Jesus brings. He just wants to help the people around him. He wants to do it. What's the next step for us? What's the next step? Maybe you just think, well, I'm not that bad. I don't really understand what's being said here today. It's my first time, and I'm looking in on things, but I'm interested in finding out more. Why not take away one of Luke's accounts of Jesus' life over there on the red tables and have a look, see if what Jesus says stacks up, if it rings true. Maybe your mind is full of how you're going to get the job, keep the job, get for me. You call yourself a Christian and you say you're trusting Jesus, but you look at your life and just think, oh, there's so much me, mine. Maybe we just need to get to know Jesus better and see the radical reorientation he brings, that we delight in living to serve other people. Maybe we need to spend time looking at the Bible again. Go back to church, go more regularly, not to get back into God's good books, but to meet the Jesus who performs this kind of radical reorientation. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, no, yeah, that is in my better moments. That is what I want to be. I want to be radically reorientated. I want that process to keep going in my life. Well, be encouraged. That's exactly what Jesus is about. He's about finding lost people and reorientating them. As you trust him to do that, as you cooperate with that, it will happen. We will change. And don't let radical leave the table. Don't take a radical response to this off the table. This man sells half of everything he has and gives back fourfold what he's stolen. What would it look like to radically want to love people around us and serve God, that other people would hear about him, that the poor in this world would be helped? What would that mean for bonuses? What would that mean for what would that mean as an inheritance comes through? What would that mean as our house goes up dramatically in value and we're offered the chance to remortgage? What would it look like to be radically generous in the way Zacchaeus was, as he saw the reorientation Jesus brings? A lost one seeking, a lost one found, a lost one reorientated. Let me pray, and then there'll be a chance for people to ask any questions they've got in the 2 or 3 minutes we have left. Father, please help us to see you as you are, and we as we are. Help us to see ourselves as lost morally. Help us to see you as the one who loves to help lost people, loves to forgive them, deal with all our wrong, and radically reorientate us. Please would we love to live to serve others at work, at home, in this world, that people would hear of Jesus. And we pray that you'd help us in that. Amen.